Nigeria's growing insecurity and insufficient policing has led to the proliferation of militias with support from state authorities. This situation is widespread across the country as vigilantes and other forms of self-defense groups, with state-level backing ranging from logistics to weapons, are set up to protect their communities and fill the gap created by the absence of law enforcement. These groups also support security forces during operations. An example is in the country's northeast, where the Civilian Joint Task Force and hunters, particularly in Borno State, provide backing to the military and police communities. Last year, governors of the southeastern states announced the formation of a regional security outfit, months after their colleagues in the southwest established a similar vigilante group known as the Western Nigeria Security Network, codenamed Operation Amotekun. The government of Zamfara State, the epicenter of the crisis in the northwest, is currently in the middle of a controversy surrounding a plan to provide civilians with firearms to protect themselves. This plan increases the risk of arms proliferation and could further amplify the violence. The existing community militias known as the Ensakai are being accused of extrajudicial violence, thereby contributing to the terror storm ravaging the region. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I am Miriam Mustafa. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I am here with my colleague, Murtala Abdullahi.
Thank you, Miriam. Today, we'll be looking at the 62 weeks of the increasing proliferation of state-level militias, especially the potential dangers of giving firearms to civilians. We'll also look at the importance of expanding security presence in remote and low-income communities to curb the growth of these self-defense militias.
As you mentioned, arming civilians is definitely a terrible idea. The violence in the Northwest is already intertwined with revenge attacks linked to the activities of these Ensakai militias, right? At some point, the group was banned in some affected states.
That's actually correct. I think profiling extrajudicial violence by these militias is part of a complex web of insecurity in the region, which also includes terrorism, criminality, cattle rustling, and the widespread kidnapping for ransom. We should also not forget that the Zamfara State government is also recruiting more community protection guards in the Emirates.
This situation in Zamfara State appears to be part of a broader national problem. Now, while some vigilantes are recognized to some extent by state-level authorities, others represent particular ethnic groups or they just simply volunteer in neighborhoods. What do you think is behind it?
So you have actually like highlighted the complexity around the nature of these self-defense groups in Nigeria. So you have those that get some level of support from the state government. You have those who are built along ethnic line like the Ensakai. And you also have those who are simply just there to protect the neighborhoods. So basically what they are doing or what they are is the symptoms of a wider issue around insufficient and inefficient policing in Nigeria. So what they do is that they try to fill in the gaps due to the absence of police presence and also because of the rising insecurity in the country, why some of them have also become instrument for violence against other communities.
So what would you say are the long-term impacts of all this?
So the long-term impact really for Nigeria is that you have more situations around arms proliferation, either in terms of craft produce or factory produced firearms in the hands of civilians, which gives more recipe for more chaos, more instability, more incident of violent crimes, and also people taking laws into their hands. So there's no positivity around these militias or arming civilians. It's quite a dangerous trend that needs to be tackled and copped immediately and in a holistic manner, really.
It's quite clear that the increase in use of vigilante groups isn't a substitute for building an efficient and effective policing system in the country, right? What's your opinion on the way forward?
So when we look at really what's the way forward involves tackling this issue. And you also highlighted the fact that vigilante groups are not a substitute for an efficient policing system in Nigeria. And when you look at the NTSAS protest, it was technically about reforming the police. And so at the heart of it really is that first, authorities need to dismantle these groups, including, for example, the civil engineer joint tax force that participate with the military in the counterterrorism operations. There has to be a way of absorbing them into systems, either based on the skill set of the individuals or their proficiency in one activity or the other. That way they can get into an institutional system that their activities are checkmated and they can carry out their actions in a constitutional manner, but not in terms of the current format that we are. So there has to be a way to dismantle this group, disengage these groups, and then strengthen the security system in the country. And the other way is that we need to also reform and improve law enforcement to better mitigate violent crimes and protect vulnerable communities, because when we do that, there will not be need for these militias. This has to also happen simultaneously with social and economic reforms that tackles major drivers of insecurity in Nigeria. This is very, very important.
Absolutely. This is an episode of Human Angle Crisis Room. Thank you for listening. I am Maryam Mustafa. Join in next week for another episode. Members of our production team are Murtala Abdullahi and Anthony Asemuta. The executive producer is Ahmed Salkida.